Welcome to Talking Total Farmer Health. I'm your host, Linda Emanuel, and today we will be talking about how to stay healthy and safe when you're working under that hot summer sun. Heat-related illnesses can overcome you quickly when you're working in the heat, and they should not be taken lightly. Not only could they cost you time away from work, they could cost you your life. And I'm not saying that to scare you. I just want to make sure you know how serious it can be. So, today we're going to talk about some of the most severe heat-related illnesses, including signs and symptoms, prevention, and most importantly, how to stay safe when you're working outdoors or in hot buildings or for long hours. It all matters and can determine your ability to work at your peak performance. I'm excited to introduce to you today's guest, Teresa Andrews, who is coming to us from the University of California's Davis location. Teresa, please go ahead and introduce yourself. Tell us about you and your background.
Okay, so I work at the Western Center for Agricultural Health and Safety at UC Davis. We are one of the 11 NIOSH-funded centers to work in agricultural health and safety. What I do at the center is I work with researchers. I try to transfer the knowledge from science to practical applications in agriculture. So I do presentations, trainings, develop educational materials that people can use to better understand the risk in agriculture and how they can protect themselves. My background, I'm from Mexico City, and I'm an educator. And I love learning new things and explaining new things to people.
Wonderful. So what does your day-to-day work look like there at UC Davis?
It varies a lot. Sometimes, as I say, I conduct trainings. So I go out to the communities. Most of the trainings lately has been for supervisors, frontline supervisors. And we talk to them to highlight their role, protecting the workers, not just making sure that the production is wherever the level they want it to be, because they are working with people and production is possible because of the people involved. So we talk about identifying risk and how to control. When I work with the workers, it's talking about their rights and what they can do, what is in their power to reduce the risk. When I work with employers, it's in California, the regulations, how by complying with the regulations, it's a good business practice because everyone is going to be just focused on production. And at the end of the day, is what they want. So taking care of health and safety is a very good, smart, and effective business practice. So my day today is very different. Sometimes I'm in front of the computer, sometimes I'm in front of people. It depends how the needs to what we need to do.
Wonderful. So it sounds like a lot of outreach, which is always appeals to me in my work with AgriSafe and really what AgriSafe about is meeting the people where they're at to give them those health and safety resources that they need.
Exactly.
Yeah. So today we're going to talk about heat-related illnesses. We are heading into the summer season for most parts of the United States. And of course, our minds think about what work needs to be done when you farm or ranch and how the weather affects that day-to-day work, including our health. And just an interesting statistic is that each year, approximately 1,500 individuals pass away in the U.S. due to heat-related illnesses. And gosh, we really need to work hard at preventing those diseases, or excuse me, those deaths, because they are preventable. So, Teresa, as we dig into this conversation, what are some heat-related illnesses that you would like to talk about today?
So I would like to talk about two, the ones that are mentioned in the Cal OSHA regulation. And I want to emphasize the word illness, because it's not just like something to take lightly. Heat illness could kill someone, as you mentioned. And sometimes farmers and farm workers, they want to be strong and be there and take care of the crops of the animals. But first, for them to be able, they need to take care of themselves. The two illnesses that the Cal OSHA regulation mentioned is heat exhaustion and heat stroke. And again, those are illnesses. So do you want to talk about symptoms?
Yes, go ahead and just give us the full definition and some of the repercussions if you don't take care of yourself.
Before I go into symptoms, the way I introduce the issue when I'm in front of people, I have a picture of an overheated car with the motor fuming, the vapor, and it's like, who in this room has a car? And the car is showing, the light is blinking, and the car is hot. And however you decide to drive that car as fast as possible on the freeway until the car is like not working anymore. Up to now, after years of working with heat illness, nobody said, yes, yes, I will do that. And when I ask why you are not doing that, they say, because I have to buy a new car or I have to pay for repairments. And I say, however, you may be doing the same thing to your body. But because your body doesn't have the light blinking, careful, careful, you're overheating, you keep pushing because the task at the far has to be completed. So people ignore things like the dizziness, the heartbeat very fast, feeling a little bit of weakness, they push it because I have to be strong. Cramps, and some of them even nausea. Okay, but however, the first sign that is already heat exhaustion, but the first sign that we need to pay attention is if you are thirsty, because this way your body is telling you that it's lowering water, and water plays a key in maintaining your body temperature to a healthy level. So heat exhaustions, dizziness, headache, weakness, nausea, and very, very fast heart beat. That could escalate to heat stroke. Now I will say, if there are 10 people affected by heat stroke, the probability of half of those, around 5, to be dead because of heat stroke is very high. So as I say, it's illness, heat illness. The symptoms for heat stroke, the temperature is very hot, but the person is not sweating anymore. Confusion, some of them may be like falling down, shaking or fainting. Again, I ask people when I'm in the in-person trainings, why do you think at the heat stroke level, people are not sweating? And the answer is because they are lower in water, meaning they are dehydrated. For the body to work well, we have to keep levels of electrolytes, water, temperature, everything has to be level. So if we are working in high temperature, we are going to start sweating a lot. Every time every drop of sweat evaporates, it takes a little bit of the heat of the body. The body to work properly, we need to be the temperature between 97, 90, I don't know why I keep saying 20, but it's 97, 98 Fahrenheit degrees. That's what the body needs for us to work hard, to work, to be alert, to be there present, working for what we need to work. At the heat stroke level, we stop sweating because the body is deciding between the little bit of water that I have, do I use it for keeping the body working, or I keep sweating trying to lower the temperature? So that's why the people doesn't sweat that much. So two very bad illnesses, heat exhaustion, heat strokes, and it could jump from one to another very quickly.
That's important to note as well, right? When you get to the heat stroke, that to me is immediate danger, but the heat exhaustion is right about almost the same level as heat stroke, in that you have to be very alert to the symptoms, and those symptoms differ just a little bit. So could you recap again, what are those primary symptoms for heat exhaustion?
Dizziness, headache, a lot of sweating, weakness, cramps, nausea, and very, very fast heartbeat. The stroke is, skin is very red, but is not sweating anymore. Temperature is very high to the level of fever. confusion, convulsions, and faintness. That could be. And again, sometimes I say from 10, most likely 5 are going to die from heat stroke. But the ones that survive, their health is not going to go back to wherever it was before the illness. It was going to be affected for many people for life. So it's not worth risking, because heat illness could be prevented with water, shade, and rest. So don't keep pushing. Maybe you're going to need 10 minutes, 15 minutes of rest and cool down period and hydration period, but then you're going to be able to work hard again, because after your body cooled down, is going to, your risk for heat illness is going to be reduced. And nowadays the temperature are very high, higher than ever. Every year we experience higher temperatures. So it's better to take care, prevent, instead of, oh my God, now I'm sick.
Right, right. And then you're no help to the farm or to yourself or to your family. So let's talk about the vulnerable population. Who do heat-related illnesses affect, and who is most at risk?
It could affect everyone, but some people are more at risk. Younger people, older people, people that are sick already, taking like high blood pressure, diabetes, any other illness that the body may be affected, the body is not going to be as strong. Sometimes some medicines, even though we need them for some things, it could affect the way the body uses the water and how to regulate the body temperature. So everyone is at risk. And during the high temperature season, I will say most likely everyone is at risk. Even young people, very strong and very healthy, could be affected. One of the things more important is that, remember, water, shade, and rest. If you are well hydrated, if your body temperature when starting the day is between the normal grades, then your risk is going to be less than if you have a night when you were very sweaty and you didn't cool down. So your body is going to start already a little bit harder than normal. And then with the effort and the temperature is going to be faster, getting very overheat. So at the end of the day, cold shower for a little bit, lower the temperature, be sure you drink enough water. And there is a very private and very easy way to see if you are drinking enough. But it's like when you go at the end of the day in the privacy of your restroom, just go and check the color of your pee. If the color is very dark and it has a strong odor, most likely you were pushing your body dehydrated to work hard. Mm-hmm. The color of the pee at the end of the day has to be a pale yellow, because that means you were well hydrated. Like almost 75% of our body is water. If we think of the cells at the very micro level, the cells need the water. If we don't have water, the skin, the eyes, the brain, the stomach, the heart, everything is going to be dehydrated. So we need healthy amounts of water.
Exactly. And that's a simple measurement. We talked about some preventable measures, which is very simple, right? Water, shade, and rest. But when it comes to our farmers, our farm and ranch operators and managers, what are some other measures they may take to prevent a heat-related illness?
One of the things I will recommend is to check the temperature the day before to be ready. So again, water, shade, and rest. But if tomorrow is going to be hotter, okay, start by resting well tonight in a cool room. Take a shower, lower your temperature, and keep drinking water. And yesterday I was talking with some farm workers and they say, what if I drink like teas or the soup, or if I eat an orange or watermelon? Those things have water. It's like, yeah, you're right. If you're not thirsty and you're hydrating yourselves with other things that are not water, then just pay attention to your body. It's feeling thirsty, I need water. It could be tea, it could be soup, it could be an orange, but just hydrate yourself. And not liquids are the same. So just pay attention to energy drinks, sport drinks, and alcohol. Those may not be a good idea for hydration.
So what is the best form of liquid that we can drink to stay hydrated?
Water.
Water.
Like the recommendation is when it's really hot and we're working outside, is 4 cups around the size of your fist. The size of the fist is around 8 ounces. So 4 cups of those per hour when it's very hot. But if you sweat a lot, you could use 1 cup of Gatorade or any other sport drink instead of water. But never drink those sport drinks before sweating a lot, because then you're going to have a lot of something your body doesn't need. Mm-hmm. Energy drinks is a no, because they block the sensation of tiredness and is forcing your body to work with more effort. So you're forcing your heart, you're forcing your brain. Alcohol, no, again, because it has the opposite effect than water. If you see someone after a party where they were drinking a lot of alcohol, the next day they are going to have headache and they are going to feel very thirsty, because all the alcohol, even though it's a liquid, it was squeezing the water and they need to replenish those levels. So water, after sweating a lot, we can use sport drinks, but the other kind of drinks, not recommended if you're going to be working outdoors.
Right. So water, pretty accessible for most people, or to take water with them when they go out into work outside, you know, making sure that they have their water jugs or water bottles, whatever it is that works well for them in whatever environment they're working in, to make sure they have them along and keep them full. Okay, we've talked a lot about heat-related illnesses, the signs and symptoms, what you can do about it. But one thing that we may not always consider in our day-to-day work is how to get used to the environment or become acclimated. Teresa, share us your thoughts on what acclimated means.
It's getting used to the temperature we are experiencing. Like, it's a cycle. Every time we go to the winter, our body regulates the temperature to be at the normal levels. I was mentioning before, 97, 98 degrees, Fahrenheit degrees, is the normal where the body needs to operate everything, digestion, thinking, everything normally. So when we are in a climate and it's not very extreme, or where internal thermostat to keep that temperature normal is going to be used to those temperatures, to the no very extreme. When we go to very extreme weather, the body needs time to get used to regulate the internal temperature, considering the external temperature. So that is going to take up to 2 weeks. Up to 2 weeks, the body is going to be learning how to regulate the temperature to compensate the extreme temperature outside to keep the insides at the 97, 98 degrees that are the normal for the body to function normally. And water plays a very important role in that, because we need to be well hydrated to for the system, the internal thermostat again, to work properly.
It's like those transition periods. So allow yourself up to 2 weeks and make sure during those 2 weeks you stay well hydrated.
Mm-hmm. And pay attention again. Any symptoms, it's better to stop, refresh yourself before it goes to something is very, like very bad for your body. That's going to destroy some of your ability to work hard for the family. And sometimes farmers push hard because they are proud of the work. But the best thing they can be doing is to protect their health so they can work hard and be proud of their work for many, many years to come.
It's a good return on investment. Just invest a little bit of your time in water, rest, and becoming acclimated. And it certainly pays off. How about what is the appropriate dress to wear when it gets so hot outside?
Well, we recommend to use layers. Long sleeves, long pants, hats, and layers is important of thin material and kind of loose, because that is going to allow certain layers of air in between the layers of clothing, and that is going to help to manage the body temperature a little bit better. Now with the sun and other issues, it may be like use sunscreen just to protect the skin when it's exposed, but layers is a good protection. And long sleeve, try not to use short sleeve, because then when the sun is heating, it's going to be heating the skin directly. You don't have the layer of the material. So the material is protecting and kind of reflecting a little bit of the heat.
Gotcha. So those breathable layers, right? Those, mm-hmm. We've always advised that cotton layers are good because cotton is an open weave fabric and allows the air to circulate in between.
Mm-hmm.
So given a farmer's day, and we know they're very long, especially during the growing season, what are some signs and symptoms for farmers, farm workers, farm managers to be on the lookout for within their coworkers? What are some things that they should be aware of, especially when we're in that hot growing season?
Yeah, if they see a person acting like a slower pace than usual, not making their ideas very clearly. You know, years ago, we had the case, a very sad case of a farm worker. And during the break, he removed a shoe and sock. And he started having a conversation like a person was with him, but he was alone. And then when he stand there and started stumbling, and the supervisor say, oh my God, he drank alcohol during the lunch. The worker collapsed, and the supervisor say, just leave him. At the end of the day, we await him for him to go home. When they went to trying to await, the worker had died. And when the report of the autopsy was like, he was not drunk, he was dehydrated, and he was suffering heat illness. So it may be confused as someone that is drunk, because it's confusion, dizziness, and people may faint. So pay attention. I think it was totally unfair and a life was lost because of something that could have been prevented. Again, water, shade, and rest. So if you see someone acting or talking weird and slow than usual, maybe the best thing is to take a break, hydrate, and cool down.
Exactly. And that was going to be my next question. So if you see those signs and symptoms in a coworker, the first step should be?
Report to the supervisor at the same time that the person is taken to the shade. Over there, maybe help the person very respectfully to remove the upper layers of clothing and start fanning the person and give small sips of water just in case. If the person after 5-10 minutes start feeling better, it's up to the supervisor and the worker if they feel better enough to go back to work or it's better to go back to home. Mm-hmm. But never, never go and send someone home or to the clinic if they are not feeling totally right. Mm-hmm. And never trying to force the person to go back to work if they are not feeling totally right. Because what if the person dies? The responsibility is for the supervisor of the farm. So don't take it lightly. As I said, the heat illness law in California mentioned two very serious types of illness, heat exhaustion and heat stroke. So why taking liability when it's preventable?
Exactly, a preventable illness. And you had talked about, you know, getting him to some shade and getting him to drink water, removing some clothing particles, which that might be the heavy work boots, the socks. And what about the hats on their head, to pull those off as well?
They could remove the hat. They could use the hat for fanning the person, actually. But, you know, regarding the hat, it's better to use the hats that are a very light materials and is breathable. Because some of the materials, if it's a very thick clothing in the hat, it could be harder to use that kind of hat. So it has to be light hat, breathable, and the brim all around the head to protect the skin. It's kind of projecting some shade, protecting that part of the body. then the baseball cap may not be the best thing to use. Mm-hmm. And also many of those are very thick materials.
Mm-hmm. Trapping that heat in. And so those wide-brimmed hats are two purposes. Skin protection from those harmful UVB rays, as well as it's great for breathable material so that, yeah, those heads stay a little bit cooler.
Mm-hmm.
So you really delved well into the signs and symptoms of what to look for in your coworkers, as well as the two major illnesses, heat exhaustion and heat stroke, that are, again, preventable deaths that we need to consider. So let's talk about free programs or resources that might be helpful to our listeners.
So free programs, I think there are resources. Kalosha, even nationwide, you can access the materials. They have posters. OSHA has some guides too. And some of them, even the yellow poster, Kalosha created that yellow poster and now is used at the federal level. And the Western Center where I work, we have discussion guides. The yellow poster, I don't know if you're familiar with the Kalosha yellow poster, but in one page, it's a large poster. One page talk about the health effects of heat. Another is what to do to protect, some measurements. So it's a 4 pages poster. And in the center, the Western Center for Agricultural Health and Safety, we have discussion guides to explain those pages.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very easy way for people to learn more about heat and to use as a guide when they are talking to heat illness to the workers. Something else that can help a lot to prevent is the culture of health and safety. Take it seriously. It's not going to be like, you're not going to be less of a strong man or a strong, effective farmer because you consider the risk of heat illness and reduce them for you and for your workers. So as I say, health and safety is a good business practice. Create that culture of health and safety in your farm, and everyone is going to be focused on taking care of production. That is at the end why we are working there for. So, plan for health and safety. Resources are free online. Check the websites, Kalosha, OSHA, Federal OSHA, and the Western Center for Agricultural Health and Safety. NIOSH, the National Institute of Occupational Health and Safety, they have some other resources. And there are other companies, insurance companies, that also have some other things. Every farmer has an insurance company. They could use them. And sometimes they are the ones that could go and train the workers if you need. The resources are in different languages. So there are ways that it's not necessary to pay for getting what you need to learn more about these issues.
Exactly. Like you said, health and safety, everyone benefits from that. And starting from the top is always key, and having either those early morning meetings to talk about, you know, what does the weather look like today, and how can we prepare for that? And then using some creativity possibly to where do you put the posters so that they're most visible, or how do you incorporate that in the day-to-day practice? And all of those great resources you mentioned, we will certainly put those website links in our show notes. Is there anything else you'd like to share today, Teresa?
I think take it seriously, because I think the resources are there. And some people may say, well, we have the poster here. And the workers may say, yeah, I saw the poster. But it was like it didn't go into your consciousness of what the poster say. So take it seriously. Those 10 minutes before the work starts, take them seriously. And it could be, for heat, could be life or death, or alive with healthy for life, or alive of someone and her strength is diminished because one time they got heat illness. So take it seriously. It's better to prevent than to be sorry for something.
Exactly. You're exactly right. Wise, wise words. Well, thank you for all of your work and your research to practice work there, Teresa. And we sure appreciate all that you're doing for our nation's farmers and ranchers.
Thank you for inviting me to talk.
Oh, you're welcome. Okay, folks, that's it for today. Thank you again for tuning into another episode. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast to hear more from AgriSafe on the health and safety issues impacting agricultural workers. If you'd like to suggest topics or have a story you'd like to share, you can contact us by email at info@agrisafe.org and title that important email TTFH Podcast. We always welcome email. You can also get our attention by using the hashtag TTFHPod on Twitter. To see more from AgriSafe, including webinars and our newsletter, visit us at www.agrisafe.org. This episode was created by AgriSafe Network, directed by Laura Siegel, hosted by me, Linda Emanuel, edited by Matt McKinney for ProPodcastingServices.com, with special guest Teresa Andrews.